Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll talk with the Minnesota National Guard's Agribusiness Development Team about their recent deployment to Afghanistan, and we'll learn about the upcoming documentary about their mission. And we'll learn about the Start Me Over Reintegration Program for veterans. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
This fall, we are welcoming more than 100 Army National Guard soldiers home after a year-long deployment. Each of these soldiers served in small companies or groups and performed unique jobs. Some of these soldiers provided financial management support to service members in Southwest Asia. Others supported the Croatian Armed Forces in Afghanistan as an extension of our state partnership program with Croatia. Aviators supported U.S. military operations in Kuwait, and others spent a year conducting agribusiness development in Zabul Province, Afghanistan. Four unique groups providing outstanding services and accomplishing missions that they and their families can be proud of. Not long ago, just last April, we welcomed home 3,000 Army National Guard soldiers with much fanfare from communities that had entire units returning to them. The soldiers coming home this fall are likely the only ones coming home in their town. They and their families are going through reintegration. The soldiers are getting acclimated back to their old jobs, and in some cases, they are looking for employment. While the bringing home of just over 100 doesn't sound as dramatic as 3,000, the reintegration of these soldiers is every bit as important. My appreciation goes out to the Yellow Ribbon Networks, who are recognizing that their community members have returned. And my endless thanks goes out to the employers who are ready to hire a recently returned veteran. Thank you for listening. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Help good business get better by hiring today's veteran.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Minnesota National Guard's just-returned Agribusiness Development Team from Afghanistan is Lieutenant Colonel Ken DeGeer and Luke Heikela from Channel 2 TPT Minnesota, who was embedded with the team last year. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having us.
All right, thank you.
Colonel DeGeer, can you tell us what was, now that you're back and back safely, what was the Ag Development Team's mission and what was the makeup of the team and what did you do in Afghanistan?
Well, basically our mission was to go over there and help the farmers of Afghanistan set up their value chain, their value supply chain, establish extension agents, work on their irrigation and water management, and also develop ag seminars and vet seminars. The makeup of the team was very unique, something I feel that the full-time Army couldn't do. The citizen soldiers of Minnesota, we put together, I handpicked, and went to a database and looked at their qualifications. So I got to handpick a team that I could trust in and take over there and get the job done. We had 12 on my team, and there was 10 in the headquarters. Another unique thing is our security force was from Mississippi National Guard. There was 34 of them.
So, Colonel, in Afghanistan, from what I've read in the papers, the conditions are a little, let's say, behind what we are in the United States, and the agribusiness area over there is pretty rustic, pretty medieval.
Yes. Yes.
So your mission was to go over there and help them bring their ag economy up to more like today's standards?
Well, you know, like you said, they're kind of behind the times. The farming wasn't, well, it looked like back in the 1900s, early 1900s of the U.S. They're still cutting wheat by hand and processing it by hand.
And so you were going over there to help them improve those conditions.
Yes, we were trying to, yes.
So. And what you were able to do with the Minnesota National Guard was call on your citizen soldiers and their areas of expertise in their civilian jobs. And some of them were farmers and some were professors and things like that.
Exactly. On my team, we had, one of them, like you said, was a professor. I'm in the ag field. I've been in the ag field for going on 30 years. We had a gentleman that worked for the University of Minnesota that was developed a wheat or a different strain of wheat for over in Egypt. We had a geologist and an agronomist. So, yeah, I pulled from their citizen or their civilian job.
So you're really able to do something that active duty military might have had a tough time with, because in the National Guard, in the Minnesota National Guard, we've got people from all walks of life and all industries.
Exactly.
So you went out and looked for volunteers that had the specific knowledge and experience to help the Afghans.
Yes.
Improve some of their conditions.
Yes.
And can you just tell us briefly, what are some of the projects that you were working on over there, sir?
Well, one of the projects we worked on was irrigation and watershed management. What we did was go around and take soil samples in the different areas of Zabul province, and then we looked at the soil characteristics and then developed an irrigation program for that soil type. The culture over there is when it's your turn to get water, you take, you get 8 hours of water, you take it all 8 hours. Well, what was going on, they were getting like wheat rot in the roots, and they were getting the tree roots were getting rotten. So what we tried to do is teach the extension agents to go out there and teach the farmers that you don't need that much water. You take 2 hours of water today, and then you take 2 hours of water in 3 to 4 days. So it was kind of a culture shock to them that they what do you mean I can't get my 8 hours of water today? But once we explained it to them, then it helped out dramatically.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Ken DeGeer, the officer in charge of the Ag Development Team that was recently returned from Afghanistan, and Luke Heikala from Channel 2, who was embedded with the team and did a special on it that we're going to talk about right after the break. Colonel, I know that I was wondering, how did the Afghans relate to you and your team? Did they understand that you were over there trying to help them? Were they appreciative of it? Were they cool? How was the reaction? Was it worth doing?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a very interesting mission. We went over there, and most of the villages we went to, they were very receptive of our team. You could tell the villages that Taliban had a stronghold in, because they would not let us in their villages. But the ones we went into, they were very receptive, liked the idea we were there to help them, show them how to, prune their trees. And another mission we did was bees. So with the bees, other units brought in European bees. And what we did, we found out that the Asian bee was native to Afghanistan. So we developed a program where, and they take a different beehive also. So we developed the beehive, brought in Asian bees, showed them to the farmers, put them in almond orchards. This year, they saw an increase of 30% in their almond yield.
That's fantastic, sir. Now, Luke, we just got about a minute before we go into a break, but you've done several specials on Channel 2 about our guardsmen, Minnesota National Guard, and you had an opportunity to go embed with the Ag Development Team, and we watched all of your postings on Facebook when you were gone. That must have been quite a trip for you.
You know, it really was quite a trip, and essentially everything that Colonel DeGeer has just said is what I was able to document while I was embedded with the ADT for 2 weeks back in April. I'm packaging this into a program that will air tonight, October 21st, on the Minnesota Channel. You can go to tpt.org, keyword search, Bridging War and Hope, to find where it's going to air near you.
Bridging War and Hope will be on tonight on Channel 2, and I'm sure you're going to show it a few more times.
Most definitely. It will be hopefully in heavy rotation.
heavy rotation. We'll also have some links to the on our website so that our listeners can find that. Gentlemen, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this trip to Afghanistan, the good work that we've done there, and about your being embedded with our Minnesota National Guard troops. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Once again, joining us is Lieutenant Colonel Ken DeGeer, the officer in charge of the Ag Development Team that just returned from Afghanistan, and Luke Heikakla from Channel 2, who's been producing specials about the Minnesota National Guard. Pretty good gig, Luke.
I can't complain. I've been sent to some faraway places, and tonight there will be, like you mentioned, Bridging War and Hope will be on the Minnesota Channel on TPT, and I was able to tag along with the Agribusiness Development Team. Spent 2 weeks with them in Zabul Province in Afghanistan, and was able to really experience some amazing sights that I hope are conveyed over the broadcast. What I was able to see is, I feel unique. I was able to see Minnesota soldiers doing something that I feel only Minnesota soldiers could do. They were bringing their agricultural expertise into the mix, and I was able to witness them and their training efforts as they attempted to bring the Department of Agriculture, Irrigation, and Livestock out in Afghanistan up to speed. They were working with the Afghan government to get them to, you know, learn how to help their rural farmers.
Colonel, I understand one of the projects you worked on was the creation of a new slaughterhouse facility for them. What was the need, and were the conditions pretty poor and required this?
Yeah. What they were doing, how they were slaughtering their livestock before, was just on the side of a hill. And what they do is right there out in the open air is slaughter a goat or sheep. And it was very unsanitary. So the provincial governor wanted us, wanted help building a slaughterhouse so their food security would be heightened. So we put in the plan and worked with their engineers on, you know, what kind of facility they want. And so it was what the Afghans wanted, not what the, you know, we wanted or what it looked like back in the United States. So we built a slaughter facility. They opened it up. Provincial governor was there, director of the Dale was there, or Department of Agriculture, Irrigation, and Livestock, and it really improved the sanitary of how they butcher.
Colonel, I understand you also did some animal vaccinations over there. Did Luke get to help with some of that?
When he was over there, I don't think he did.
No one gave me a syringe, so I didn't stick anything.
Luke, I know that when I was following you on there, you were impressed with the security briefings and the discipline with which these events happened over there.
That's exactly right. As a civilian walking into a military environment like this, it's hard not to be completely blown away by the professionalism. There's nothing left up for chance. Security briefings. I guess I've come back and I've said that if our meetings at Twin Cities Public Television were run as efficiently as the security briefings that I experienced, so we'd get a whole lot more done at work. Walked away very, very impressed with all the soldiers that I met while I was in Afghanistan.
And Colonel, I understand helping the Minnesota National Guard's Ag Development Team, where you had some Mississippi National Guard's troops over there providing security.
Yes, they were our security force, and they did an excellent job. You know, we wish we could have brought Minnesota soldiers along for our security force, but the way the mission was presented to us, we had to bring the Mississippi Guards, and I'd take them back to war again with me.
So everything was real carefully planned and laid out each day, and they did a great job.
Every mission was, laid out very carefully, so.
All right, Luke, let's talk a little bit more about this special. You've done several specials, and this one's going to be tonight, Bridging War and Hope. At 8 o'clock Central Standard Time tonight, October 21st. I know that you shot lots of film, and I saw all that stuff on the internet. How did you ever pull that all together? How long did it take you?
Well, the planning process for a trip like this is pretty extensive. It starts early on. We have a wonderful Twin Cities Public Television has a great relationship with the Minnesota National Guard. So the invitation was extended. Fundraising started, was able to find a great partner in the CHS Foundation that provided the financial support for this project. A lot of planning. It takes a lot. Takes a lot to get to Afghanistan as a civilian, I found out. Once I was in Afghanistan, I just started, brought the video camera out and started shooting as much as I could. The ADT was a great partner in this. They made sure that I got a full taste for what their mission, what their unit was doing on a daily basis. So for 2 weeks, I was headed out with the ADT, and I was seeing them as they're walking through bazaars, as they're talking to farmers, as they're taking mounted and dismounted patrols to some rural villages. So I was able to bring all of that footage back and package it, and it premieres tonight on the Minnesota Channel. So I'm really proud of this project, and I hope that I fairly represented the mission that the ADD conducted.
Colonel, I've seen some of those pictures. Luke didn't look quite as comfortable in his helmet and his flak jacket as the rest of you did. How did he do?
He did a very good job. You know, when you're a civilian, you come over there, I can kind of understand he was, you know, out of his element, but when we told Luke to do something, he fell right in and did an excellent job.
So. I don't think I had a choice. I appreciate the compliment, but I'm pretty sure I didn't have a choice.
Having those embedded reporters, I'm sure that could be a pain, but he did a good job and followed orders, and it was easy to take care of.
Yes, he was.
Luke, we just got a couple of minutes left, about a minute. What can we expect to see in the Bridging War and Hope tonight? And thanks for going over there and do this. I'm excited to see it.
Well, thank you. And, you know, what your listeners can expect is a look at Afghanistan that they haven't seen before. I was able to see a lot of Afghans. A lot of the news that you hear today is it's filled with despair. It's hard to find good news stories coming out of Afghanistan. I'm confident that I found one and was able to tell the story of Minnesota soldiers really doing good in Afghanistan and doing good for the people of Afghanistan. And through pictures of soldiers working with Afghans, I really believe that viewers are going to walk away after watching this, you know, realizing that, yep, there were 22 Minnesota soldiers who spent a year in some pretty terrible conditions, dry, dusty, cold, dirty, snowy. I mean, everything was thrown at them, and they achieved their mission with flying colors, and it's my honor to be able to tell their story.
And Luke, where can our listeners find more information about the show?
You know, you can head on over to tpt.org. It'll be on the landing page. There'll be maybe just scroll down a little bit. You'll see Bridging War and Hope right there on the landing page. Click on that. You'll be able to watch it online, or you'll be able to find out how you can watch it on your big television at home.
Luke, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Colonel, we're glad to have you home safe, and our embedded Channel 2 reporter. Luke was impressed with the conditions over there.
Yeah, it was pretty airy. So,
any final thoughts about the job that the agribusiness development team did in Afghanistan? Do you think you really helped the Afghans, and were you well received?
Yeah, my team did an excellent job. And as far as, you know, did we leave them with something they could utilize? Yeah, I believe we did. We worked with a couple younger Afghan businessmen, and it gave me a ray of hope that when we left, they'll take our advice and move forward. So,
and Colonel, this is another great story about the capabilities of the Minnesota National Guard. For those listeners out there that are thinking about joining the Minnesota National Guard, what a great trip, what a great opportunity to help people halfway around the world.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. I'm so glad I got picked to go on this mission. I mean, every time you go on a deployment, it opens up your eyes, but this mission was very rewarding. I mean, helping people enhance their life, you know, what better job could you have?
Great work, Colonel, and glad to have you and the whole team home safely.
Thank you.
That was Lieutenant Colonel Ken DeGeer and Luke Heikkila from TPT Minnesota. Remember, Bridging Hope, War and Hope will be on tonight at 8 Central Standard Time, October 21st, and you can find more information on our Facebook page. Please tune it in. Should be a great show. Now it's time for Hire Minnesota's Heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota's veterans are facing an unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week, we'll feature one veteran's story and ask you to help hire Minnesota's heroes. Joining us is this week's veteran, former Navy Petty Officer Dave Strobel of Bloomington, Minnesota. Dave, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I sure can. Again, I'm Dave Strobel. Most recently, I held a position as a field service engineer with Flexstar Technology. Flexstar is a company that builds and sells test equipment to disk drive manufacturers all over the world. job consisted pretty much of remote and on-site support to install new systems, as well as repair and upgrades to existing hardware and, of course, software. Prior to Flexstar, I was with Seagate Technology. I started out there as a test technician in production, but had the desire to want and learn to do more, migrated into production, into engineering, and then quality and reliability. I finished with Seagate as a test lab manager. I wore a lot of hats. I excelled in purchasing, finance, and as an ISO auditor and a first responder. That's just to name a few things. Through teamwork and communications and motivation, we make positive results happen. Future plans are to stay in the electronics industry. I just love the technology, just can't get enough of it.
Dave, good luck in your search, and thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
Dave and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on their next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Dave, contact the Bloomington Workforce Center at 952-346-4000. That's 952-346-4000. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. Coming up next on Minnesota Military Radio, we'll learn about the Start Me Over reintegration program for veterans. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about the Start Me Over reintegration program for veterans. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
The Minnesota Department of Transportation has a veterans program for small businesses owned by eligible veterans as defined by Minnesota statute that allows a 6% preference in the award of the MnDOT state-funded projects. Through this program, MnDOT has made a commitment to veteran contractors. MnDOT is actively looking for veteran-owned businesses across Minnesota to help expand its veterans program. MnDOT recognizes the tremendous value brought to construction projects from veteran business owners, including expertise in utilizing advanced technology and equipment, unique training and leadership under challenging situations, ability to bring individual talents together toward team goals, skills in meeting tight deadlines, and flexibility to meet changing field conditions. Visit MinnesotaVeteran.org for more information.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Patrick Hanlon is founder and CEO of Thinktopia, a global strategic brand innovation firm that works with Fortune 100 companies. He started Start Me Over to help veterans across the nation reintegrate from the military community into the civilian community using the principles outlined in his book, Primal Branding, which is listed as a top 10 book in marketing and branding. Start Me Over helps individuals understand the structure of community and the tools to help transition from one community to another. This gives veterans a head start in designing their personal narrative and life goals. Mr. Hanlon, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
So I understand I want to go back a few years. I understand you go back to about my area. You were in the military at one time as well.
I was one of the last draftees. Yes, thanks for mentioning that. Also, but actually, my father was a Marine. I have several nephews who are Marines and a sister in the State Department who's also been to Baghdad and Fallujah and a lot of bad places. So we have there's something in the genetic pool, apparently.
So you served in the United States Army?
That's correct. Europe.
All right. And Mr. Hanlon, you're a successful business owner. How did you get involved in Start Me Over to help veterans?
Well, as you mentioned, I wrote a book called Primal Branding. And a couple of years ago, I received a phone call from a guy in Special Forces from Fort Bragg. And he told me that he had read the book and that the principles in the book could apply to the military. So while we were talking about that, he transitioned out. I retired out of medical retirement. And one day on the phone, he said, "Pat, you know, I've been using the principles in the book to help me transition. And he said, it's helping, by the way. And I think that, you know, there are these tens of thousands of veterans that are coming back from Croatia and Afghanistan and Iraq and so forth and Philippines and all of that. And this could really help them. And so he and I both started Start Me Over. And initially we were thinking about starting in Fort Bragg because Fort Bragg is the largest fort in the nation. And but we've also been working here in Minnesota. So although the roots are in Fort Bragg and Special Forces, we've been doing quite a few things here in Minnesota as well.
Patrick, you and I talked a little bit before we went on the air about the fact that the Minnesota National Guard has some formal reintegration training programs before and after deployments that, they do pretty well with. But the reserves and some of the active duty, they just kind of get released and left to their own devices sometimes. I'm assuming that your focus is on active duty troops that are trying to reintegrate into the community?
It is, but we're dealing with everyone, actually. Yeah, I think we talked about people in the Marines and the Air Corps and so Air Forces and so forth being drop-shipped back rather than coming back in a pod. But the it's important for all people, all veterans, to properly reintegrate. And what we mean by that is to regain that sense of belonging inside of the community. And that's one of the things that Start Me Over does. And it helps people figure out a brand narrative. We really look at community as a belief system that's driven by a core, a set of principles that include a creation story, creed, icons, special vocabulary that people use, people who don't believe, a leader, and so forth. And there are seven elements to this, and we go maybe I'll take a minute just to go through each one of them a little bit. But the creation story, just a few of them, because I don't want to take up all the time. But there's a creation story, for example, and we all have our own creation story. We're born somewhere. We have parents. We have people who stepped off the Mayflower or off of a plane. And it came from somewhere else. We're a nation of immigrants, and we all started somewhere. And then the second thing is the creed, and what do we believe in? You know, in the extreme end, what are we willing to die for? And in the products and services world, you know, this is pretty simple. It's Coke versus Pepsi. It's IBM or PCs versus Macs and Starbucks versus Dunkin' Donuts and things like that. Things we all, or the Twins versus Milwaukee or something. But the Vikings versus Packers, I guess. But in the in our own world, you know, we have to decide what we don't want to be, who we do not want to be like, what we don't want to become, and so forth. And that helps steer us, right? And then there are icons. These are the quick, instant concentrations of meaning that instantly signal, you know, who you are, what you're about. And again, in the products world, it's a Nike and so forth. The clothes that we wear, the cars we drive, the homes we live in are all iconic, and they signify who we are and to some extent what we believe in. And then there are rituals and what we call sacred words or a special lexicon. If we wanted to order at Starbucks, it's ice grande, skinny decaf latte if we wanted to order. And some of us are still figuring that out. But if you know the words, you belong in the community, you know.
We're speaking with Patrick Hanlon, president of Start Me Over on Minnesota Military Radio. Patrick, we've got a few minutes left in this segment. Are we thinking wrong about the way we think about veterans today? How does Start Me Over help us try to change our reference points?
Sure. Well, first of all, if you have those seven elements, you have a brand narrative, and that's the thing that helps you. Once you have that brand narrative pulled together, it can help you get hired faster than someone who doesn't have it pulled together. And I think that one of the things that we're looking at is really reframing how people perceive veterans, because right now we're really looking at them as people who need to be, you know, retrained, and or they have PTSD or they're wounded warriors and so forth. And of course, that's the case for some people, which is sad. But the way we look at our veterans, returning veterans, is as leaders. They're people who have already been pre-trained in how to lead teams under high-stress conditions, how to use protocols, how to use procedure, and do it successfully.
And are today's veterans a lot different from World War II and Vietnam?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have to remember that we've sent our veterans over several times in some cases, and we've trained them much differently. We've spent, as a society, we've spent somewhere between, the figures are all over the place, but somewhere between 50 and the highest figure is $1.2 million per individual. So it doesn't make sense for us as a society to suggest that that person go off and work in a factory somewhere, does it?
So when we're thinking about today's veterans coming back, they've got all different levels of experience and training. And coming back, they don't have to be retrained. But how do we take advantage of what they've learned and done and their experience and their discipline?
I think as a society, we need to figure that out. I think it's a national, should be a national objective.
And Pat, startmeover.com now for the veteran. Where can they find information on that and how do you help them?
Right. Thank you. Start Me Over is really a three and a half hour workshop. We have ignition workshops. We're holding them all over the country. We've had a couple out in Fort Bragg. We've had a couple here in the Twin Cities area. We're doing them on the West Coast. It's one in a couple weeks in Montana. And really, they should go to startmeover.com to check out when and where they're going to be and let us know that they exist. Send their, give us their email address and so forth, and we can notify them.
All right, we have to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes with Patrick Hanlon from Start Me Over. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting with Patrick Hanlon, the president of the Start Me Over Reintegration Program for Veterans. Pat, one more time, I want to ask you, we've kind of defined what Start Me Over is. You've said that you've got some courses available for our veterans. They can find information at startmeover.com. And can you tell us about these, once again, what do you do to help the veterans to reintegrate to civilian life?
Yeah. Basically, we help veterans understand that they're moving from one community, the military community, into another community, the civilian community. And all communities are driven by a belief system. And if you share those beliefs, it attracts others, and that's what creates community. And, of course, the military is a community that's unlike any other in many ways. You're told where to be, when to be there, and what you're going to do when you get there, right? And when you transition over into the civilian world, you have some choices to make. You know, you have freedom of choice. You have some moral options. You have to get yourself up in the morning. You have to go find a job and so forth. And what happens is that a lot of people, when they come back, there's a bubble, let's say, and that bubble can last from anywhere from several weeks to a year or more. And during that time, things come flying at you. And what we do is we reveal the structure that creates community, the creation story, creed, icons, rituals, sacred words, non-believers, and leader are seven pieces that we just float through in daily life, but that really form the structure that is a superstructure around communities. So when you deconstruct a community, you offer tools or handholds for returning veterans to really understand what's going on so that you are not bombarded by all of these seemingly random, disparate actions that that come flying at you, which if you don't understand it can be start out being confusing or frustrating or can lead to anger.
Patrick, here in Minnesota, there's a big push to help veterans find jobs, but a lot of the returning veterans are going to school and taking advantage of the GI Bill such as it is today. How are they doing with that?
Some are doing great. I mean, back in our era, I'm a Vietnam era veteran myself, and what I've been told is that even back then, 50% of all veterans dropped out of school. They felt that they just didn't belong. And I thought that I was astounded by that, actually, because I just found that out a few months ago. And it's a shame because it's all free, right? And it's your edge and your kickstart back into the civilian world. And 50% then, the percentage these days seems to be higher. There are indications that it is higher. And what we're afraid of really is a parallel thing going on in the workplace. When people do, if a veteran is not properly reintegrated, we don't want them to drop out of their work job if they're lucky enough to get a job, because we don't want employers coming back saying we tried veterans, it just didn't work out for us, they didn't fit in.
And of course, most of our veterans that return have a good time. They get a job, they go to school, things go well, but there's a small percentage that needs some help, and that's what we're talking about today.
Exactly.
For the business owners, does Start Me Over have any programs to help the business owners understand the experience and the training that they get in the military?
Yes, we're helping companies right now understand, and they themselves, you know, work on they have internal brands that they're trying to manage and trying to integrate veterans into. And this is where we're trying to help them understand that veterans actually are pre-trained to do some pretty important things and do it successfully, and they can do the same things inside of the corporate world.
So can if business owners want to learn about that, can they come to you to help?
Startmeover.com. Just can get in touch with us, and we can lead you through it.
Okay, Pat, we've got about a minute left. Any final thoughts for our veterans for accessing help if they want it, and any final thoughts about Start Me Over?
Well, I think that the final thought is maybe that the guy who called me from Fort Bragg, you know, who I talked about in the opening of the show, just 3 weeks ago was accepted for an MBA program at a pretty good school, international school. And he was an enlisted guy and only had a GED, but now he's on his way to an MBA. And I think that he would credit most of that to, or a lot of that to Start Me Over.
He's fitting back in pretty well, isn't he?
I think so.
And one last time for our veterans or business owners that would like some information and some help, where do they go?
I think you know, Tom. Startmeover.com.
Startmeover.com. Pat, I'd like to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Great. Thanks for having me.
That was Pat Hanlon, the president of the Start Me Over program for reintegration program for our veterans on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Sergeant Major, I understand that Camp Ripley hosted a memorialization ceremony recently recognizing some former Minnesota National Guardsmen. Can you tell me about that?
Absolutely. A week ago Sunday, on October 7th, Camp Ripley hosted its annual memorialization ceremony. So we actually got to honor four of our retired Guardsmen for their service. At the same time, we also dedicated an airfield tower in honor of five of our fallen aviators who died in a helicopter crash back in 1993. So it was quite a day. It was a really great way for us to recognize and remember the service and sacrifice of those that came before us. And you may or may not know this, Tom, but Camp Ripley's been doing these memorializations since 1933, and they do them annually now. We're actually taking nominations for next year already, and so that's pretty exciting. They'll be accepted from now until 1 April. And the next memorialization ceremony at Camp Ripley is going to be on October 6th of next year.
Sergeant Major, I did not know they were doing this. You bring me some new information every time I talk to you.
That's good.
Are there different types of memorialization to choose from when nominating someone for this honor?
You know, there are. We have three different types of honors that you can nominate someone for. The first one's a court of honor, and that's an outdoor plaza. It's a monument that you have your name permanently displayed for people who are past or present, living or deceased, who have been selected for memorialization. So that's a really nice honor. The second way is to have a facility or a site at Camp Ripley named after you. And this is for individuals who have been deceased for at least 2 years. Features at Camp Ripley are not named for living persons currently. And then the third way is to have the name of a road or a trail or a prominent terrain feature at Camp Ripley named after a battle or a campaign or a geographical area where the Minnesota National Guard has served in combat.
Sergeant Major, is any former member of the Minnesota National Guard eligible to be nominated for these honors?
Let me talk to you about eligibility for this. For military personnel, it's based on heroism or distinguished professional achievement and service. And so if you have someone that qualifies in that area, absolutely. We also have military personnel who have died in the line of duty. They are eligible to be nominated as well. And even civilian employees of the Department of Military Affairs can be considered for the memorialization based on professional achievement and service.
Where can our listeners find information on nominating someone for these types of memorialization?
I'm glad you asked, and I hope people do nominate people. Currently, the information is located on the MinnesotaNationalGuard.org webpage. It's under Court of Honor Induction. And I really encourage anyone who knows a guardman who qualifies for this memorialization to nominate them. I don't think we can ever appreciate enough what our predecessors have done for us.
It's quite an honor. Sergeant Major, will that information eventually get to our favorite website?
We're trying. Right now it's at the MinnesotaNationalGuard.org website.
And eventually it may be on beyondtheyellowribbon.org with a lot of other good information to help support our troops and their families.
Absolutely.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. Joining me now is Staff Sergeant Ben Houtkooper, my military producer, so we can talk about some upcoming events. Sergeant Ben, I know you want to talk about a Yellow Ribbon organizational event coming up soon.
Yep, absolutely. The Southwest Twin Cities Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Coalition is set to have another kickoff event. It's coming up this Thursday from from 7 to 9 p.m. So if you're from Minnetonka, Edina, Excelsior, Hopkins, St. Louis Park, Wayzata, that whole corner of the Twin Cities, you're invited to come to this event. It's, again, on Thursday at the Minnetonka Community Center Community Room, and you can find more information about that on our Facebook page.
October 25th.
Absolutely.
And you've got something on a Silver Star event.
Yep. The our friends up at the Spring Lake Park VFW are having an event this Wednesday, 7 p.m. If you're interested in helping service members or families of service members who were injured, whether it's a flesh injury or PTSD, traumatic brain injury, if they were wounded, they are a Silver Star family, and this is an event that you can show up to and help with.
And Sergeant Ben, on the first half of the show today, we had members of our Minnesota National Guard's Zabul Agribusiness Development Team and Luke Heikela from TPT talking about Bridging War and Hope. That's coming on tonight, isn't it?
I'm excited. I'm excited to watch it. It's coming on tonight, and it's also going to be airing next Sunday. Tonight, it's on Twin Cities Public Television, the Minnesota station. So if you've got an antenna, it's 2.2. I think it's pretty much the same thing on cable as well. But again, it's tonight at 8 p.m. And also next Sunday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. And there's a couple other times. If you want more on that one, tpt.org.
www.tpt.org.
You got it.
All right. Thanks, Sergeant Ben. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lieutenant Colonel Ken DeGeer, Luke Heikela, Patrick Hanlon, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, Commissioner Larry Shelado, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about an upcoming and very important 40th anniversary for Vietnam veterans and learn about Minnesota's latest legislation aimed at taking on veteran unemployment. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.